So one last thing about the question of government. Alito did ask, is this case moot? And Brian, he said, no, it's not. The government said, no, it's not. And I think that's important because it's going to, I think it shows for an injunction that there's future harm. If a thing's not moot, there's future harm. That's my take on that. But then Ben got up and he gave.
Can I ask you to just explain really quickly for our listeners why the Solicitor General of Louisiana was the only one arguing? And so many, because if anybody listens, so many of the questions were about our clients.
Yeah.
And so people have asked me, well, why weren't you guys arguing?
Yeah. So, and I should also mention Janine Yunus was there as well. And she wasn't a counsel table either. The AGs brought the attorney generals of Louisiana, Missouri brought this case and they wanted one of their SGs to argue. So they were, and then their name's on it. So we did ask for time. So we asked for split argument and we asked just for 10 minutes to discuss the case. And the court turned us down, and it turned us down in an unusual way. Instead of issuing the order on the normal order time, the reply brief of the government came out, and I was waiting and waiting. And then on like Wednesday, they denied it. I just figured it would be denied, you know, in the ordinary course, and it wasn't. And
makes you wonder if someone wanted.
Yeah.
There was somebody pushing for maybe allowing it.
But that's why. Yeah. So, and Ben, he had gotten into this case in January, and he had a very good opening, I thought. I like the ending, particularly because he said, wait a minute. Because in some of these cases, the judges have always said, oh, presidents use the bully pulpit. And he turned it around on him and said, listen, this isn't just speaking in public. These are tons of private pressures, tons of private conversations and emails pressuring them. That's not the bully pulpit. That's just being a bully. Then he got to questioning, and the first there were certain questions. I want to go through Barrett first because I think she's important. And Barrett asked a number of questions because she had just issued a 9-0 opinion on Friday about whether a public official can block people on his social media. And what she said there was that only if it really shows that he's speaking for the government, he has control over whatever he's speaking about, and that he says, you know, it looks like an official statement by the government. So she did ask, well, what about statements by government officials who have no control over whoever they're talking to? And I thought Ben's response to this was good. He used an opinion in the Second Circuit by Sotomayor that said, no, if some other bureaucrat is harassing you all the time and people don't know, people might think that guy has responsibility, that's still enough to be a speech violation.
Yeah, I think it was the borough president of Staten Island
which
you would think that person has authority if you lived in Staten Island.
Exactly. So I thought that was a good response. I don't know if Barrett liked it, but it did.
I don't know if Sotomayor liked it.
Yeah, I know. That's true. But I do think that shows the court's thinking about how big the government is and whether or not, I think the government shouldn't be threatening you, but I guess they figure there's so many loose cannons in the government, they want to have some way. They're trying not to create too much litigation, I think, is what it is. But that isn't our case. We had people in control doing it. So, and Ben had to keep going back to that. That's not the case here. The other thing that then happened is, which I thought was amazing, was both Kavanaugh and Kagan, having come out of the office of the White House counsel, basically said, you know, we did this all the time. We called newspapers to keep out op-eds. Now, there is precedent that op-eds are really the statement of the newspaper, even though they're op-eds. They're the statement of the newspaper. So I don't think—
Because the newspaper chooses whether to run
it
or not.
So I don't think they're silencing third parties. But they were like, we did this all the time. And Justice Roberts chimed in, I want it to be clear, when I was in government, I never censored anybody, which—
It brought the room down. That was a good line.
Yeah, which was my favorite. But the answer to that, I think, is just like Jackson in the Steele cases. He did everything for Truman, right? But when the Steele cases came up, he ruled against them. So I'm hoping they follow Jackson on that. But it's so common for them to call and work the ref. I think it might be David. If they call a friendly guy and they say, do you really want to release this right now? Maybe that's not coercion.
Just want to make you aware of the consequences if you do this. Ooh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Okay, yeah. Thanks for letting me know. You really saved me. I'll hold off on this.
So right. That's how would you
story.
Right? And the other thing is, you couldn't get an injunction if it's a one-off. You can't get an injunction. But all of the examples that the government kept peppering Ben with are things that didn't happen in this case. The other thing that didn't come out, and the one thing I really think is, our guys were right on the facts. The shutdowns, there was one hypothetical by Jackson. And Jackson asked, what if you had a TikTok challenge where you had to jump, kids were jumping off progressively out the windows. Yeah, exactly. And he said something about the fact that, you know, they could make them aware of that and they probably take it off themselves. You wouldn't have to censor. I think that was the answer. But Jay Bhattacharya said something afterwards that I liked. He said, the only people throwing kids out of windows was the government, because that's what shutting down the schools was doing to them. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that would have been
a devastating comment. Yeah.
because now we know that the shutdowns have really set all these kids back and there's isolation and all that. So I do think that is true. But it shows that all these people and all the people on the bench are government actors, and they think the government's doing good things.
Well, they think that they wouldn't abuse this discretion.
That's
if
true
they were
as well.
Trusted with it.
That is true.
And they're. You know, my grandma always told me, don't measure yourself in someone else's half bushel. And I think that's exactly what they're doing here, is they're saying, if I were in that position, what I was doing would be constitutional. So therefore, what, you know, Flaherty or Andy Slavitt or whoever's doing is constitutional. And it wasn't.
And I will say, Kagan at Harvard and Kagan in government and Kavanaugh in government, I've never heard a word that they were bullies or bad to staff or other people. That may be right. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It could be. I think our line is, you can't ask that it be taken down. So right. If they ask that it be taken down, I think it does abridge speech. So, you know, I reserve the right to think that they were bad actors when they were in their government roles. But, Justice Alito was the one who I think really honed in on the fact that this isn't done to the traditional press.
Right.
You know, this the sort of badgering, the constant. And he honed in on the fact that Section 230 is the reason for that. Right. That. Because the traditional press could be sued if they behaved this way in response to government pressure, but the social media companies can't.
And antitrust. He also brought up antitrust, and Gorsuch added on. I was behind in the line. I was near the Knight organization. They had put in a brief.
Right, from Columbia Law School, right?
Right.
First Amendment Institute.
Right, and I was in line with that fella. And they were mentioned that oral argument that about the concentration of the social media whether that makes it even more dangerous. And so there are people thinking about this. I did think that both Roberts and Alito gestured to the press who were there, including
Nina Totenberg.
Nina Totenberg was there, exactly. It was a full house. It was a full house from the press. And so—
Yeah, they were all there to hear Justice Jackson say, "So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods."
Yes.
And I think, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what the First Amendment does.
What I wanted to say there was that if that's your thinking, you're going to write the Korematsu of First Amendment speech, right? It was really important. Put all those Japanese guys who couldn't, you know. So I don't think that's right. But I do think, they're more concerned about minor intrusions being a lawsuit. Now, I think minor intrusions would never get an injunction.
I don't either.
And so that I'm hoping that what they're going to say is that these minor things you can't do, so they don't get. But this rises to it. And then the last thing I think we should talk about really is the injunction, because I will tell you this. None of the six Republican appointees asked any question about standing. And I don't want to go into standing because it's boring.
Well, Alito said, if just one person has standing, then we're done here, right?
And so then Ben went into Jill Hines and our clients, basically, because the state standing is up. There's a lot of handles in it. So I do think that that's all they asked about, but none of them really pressed him on standing. So I think standing's probably going to get a majority. Then the merits. I think some of the merits, they didn't pound them on the actual facts of this case. They seemed to be really hitting them on things that never happened
in this
case.
It was the hypotheticals that were
Right.
That were sinking him more than you know, any of the facts of this
case. And they would just
Which hold up very well under inspection.
The thing that bothered me was I thought he gave the best answer you could give on whether they did this for their own, the social media did it on its own will, or it did it because it caved. He read the email from Facebook, we're caving. We're not going to fight you anymore. He read it, and then he turned
and
it around
shouldn't have done it.
So they could say it. And then he showed them where it was in the record. And right after that, Kagan says, well, I can't imagine Facebook, a big, powerful company, caving it. I mean, I don't know what an advocate can do to stop that.
I don't either. Expand your imagination, Justice Kagan.
Exactly. So the next thing is the size of the injunction. I think that the breadth of the injunction and how it works definitely was on their minds everywhere. They didn't ask the government the question, what does this prevent you from doing that you want to do? I was begging them. Internally, I was going, please, someone ask the government what they want to do that this prevents. And nobody did. They were mainly concerned about stopping terrorists from recruiting, this sort of thing. I do think that, and that's Kagan and Kavanaugh right there.
And Justice Gorsuch, as predicted, asked whether counsel would back off of the universal injunction.
Correct.
Because, you know, that's his bugaboo. He doesn't like those universal injunctions. And counsel conceded both that you could limit it to the five social media platforms over which discovery was had, and that you could limit it to the seven plaintiffs. What I wish he had said is limiting it to the seven plaintiffs means that this is still very broad because those seven plaintiffs are interacting with lots of other people on Twitter and Facebook.
True, but I wouldn't say that because I'd want to win and then it'll be broad later. Anyway, it was quite a big day, and we hope for a good outcome, and we'll be back with another hearing that's interesting.